Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Warm welcome to PoweredFloor.tv, Big Fight Weekly, episode 37, with myself, Stuart Palmer, and my co-host and cousin, Chris Hume.
How are we, mate? I'm good, mate.
I'm looking forward to this, because we are now in the post-fight scenario that we always love after, you know, doing the pre-fight stuff. But Chris, UFC 267, Grappling Central to set up submissions, absolutely. And we have now got the second oldest UFC world champion in the history of the game, Glover Teixeira, submitting Jan Błachowicz, Chris. And Błachowicz just looked off colour, didn't he? Absolutely off colour.
For me, just, he didn't look himself, did he? I'll bring up like the submission picture here. No, he didn't get with it. You know, he did catch Glover Teixeira, you know, with a few strikes in the second round. But in the first round, Glover Teixeira set him up perfectly. You know what I mean? He backed him up against the cage. He took him down. And when he took Jan Błachowicz down, Jan Błachowicz just had nothing. He kept his guard up. He didn't move his hips. He didn't bring his legs around, you know, to try and push Glover Teixeira off. And, you know, I think he was quite frightened that, you know, Glover could get a submission that way. He just sort of kept him in his guard. But Glover Teixeira, my man, 42 years of age, and just rolling the clock back in this fight. You know, he rocked Jan Błachowicz in the second round. Again, he went straight to that well of taking him down, didn't he? You know, he got inside Jan Błachowicz with the strike, and I could say, before he took him down. But Jan had no answer from the bottom, did he, at all?
I'm going to coin Glover Teixeira the Renaissance man, Chris, because, you know, he'd suffered a lot of losses, and he's gone on this... You've got to call it a tear, and, you know, for a man of his years. But, I'm going to coin him the Renaissance man. I hope you're all right with that.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, really, for him? You know, he got that rear naked choke, didn't he? Jan tapped quicker than I thought. You know what I mean? I thought he might have tried to held in. I know he had his back flattened, and I know that Glover Teixeira had his back. You know, it was a difficult one for Jan Błachowicz. But he tapped very quickly. So it made me feel there was something wrong with that jaw, because that choke, as I said to you off camera, it wasn't actually under the neck. It was just along the side of the, you know, the bottom half of the jaw. And he tapped very quickly. But you've got to give props to Glover Teixeira. You know what I mean? He's done 20 years of this. And, you know, he had that one title fight against John Jones. But this is John Jones. We spoke about John Jones a lot. And we know what, you know, happens when people fight him. But yeah, I'm really, really impressed with Glover Teixeira. Okay, he's got a big, big fight coming up with Yuri Prochazka, whenever that will be next year. But you can't not be impressed with Glover Teixeira. You know, 20 years.
Long time trained by John Hackelman as well. Great. I made up for him. I am really made up for the guy. You can't help but love the guy. I remember when he was coming through, obviously more so UFC. Prior, you'd know a bit more about him than I did, but I can always remember when he came in, and just a likable person, Chris. You know, not knocking Błachowicz, so he's likable as well. Yeah, you know, they endear themselves to the fans. They're not much for trash talk, are they, Chris?
No, they come and do the fight, don't they? You know what I mean? Jan sung him happy birthday, didn't he? You know, in a press conference before, you know, a few days beforehand. So, you know, there was much respect there. You know, the guys have been through the mill. You know, and you know, they both got to the top of the mountain. Unfortunately for Jan, you know, like I say, even if he loses his next bout against Yuri, it's still a momentous sort of occasion for him to become a champion at 42. Yeah, really happy. It was a really good card as well, you know, as we go down the fights after this one. But yeah, that topped it off.
I was on my way back from Liverpool, mate, so I missed it. I thought I'll be back. But yeah, a little bit waylaid on the beer, mate, on Saturday. But I have managed to see everything now. And Chris, are we going to move on to the co-main, or have you got some questions, some comments or anything?
No, we'll move on, mate. We'll move on.
Okie dokie. So Peter Yan, as Chris has so eloquently put, dominates Corey Sandhagen, Chris. I was looking at the scorecards. 49-46 to Yan. Do you feel that's a fair assumption on the cards?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. You know, I think they put their game plan forward. Sorry. Peter Yan put it together, didn't he? And I said to you last week, it was all about the pressure with Peter Yan and his slick boxing. And he was working that body with the leg kick as well. So, you know what I mean? It was really putting a lot of pressure on Sandhagen. Sandhagen was, you know, his whole game plan was really, really good. You know what I mean? He was moving around, his head movement, his footwork. But Peter Yan was just finding home for the striking, you know, the jabs to the hooks over and over again, especially that body kick. You know, Sandhagen again himself was trying to go for the body shots. You saw him in the first couple of rounds. He's going low, then high, then low. It was, you know, trying to sort of confuse Yan. But I think once Yan figured him out in the second round, it was game over for Sandhagen. And
Sandhagen actually landed more. I was looking at stats and stuff like that. But Peter Yan obviously had the most devastating strikes in terms of damage. So, you know, it was... I don't know. Do you think Corey Sandhagen would be better going up a division? Because he's 5'11". He's a big old boy in terms of height. Do you think 135 is a bit of a stretch for him?
No, I don't think it is. I just think at this point in time, you know, I mean, you face the elite people
in
the division, don't they?
And yeah.
On this night, it was just, you know, Yan was too much for Sandhagen. Sandhagen can go back to the well. Look, there's plenty of fights below him that you can get back on track with. You know, I think Aljamain Sterling would be shitting his knickers after watching this, because I think Yan looked fantastic. And when them two cross paths in the octagon again, I can't see nothing but a Yan destroying him. I'm making a point of it as well because of the whole knee to the head and the Oscar-winning performance that Aljamain Sterling, you know, performed on that night. I think Yan's going to control this division. Now, this weather depends now if Henry Cejudo wants to come back, because obviously there's a lot of conversation. He does sort of prime in here and there, doesn't he? I'd like to see Yan versus Henry Cejudo as well, you know, if Henry decides he ever wants to come back to MMA, because that would be really interesting.
It's a good shout, Chris, absolutely. I can see we've got Albert Barlow and we've got Sam Knight on Facebook watching us. So welcome, gents. Welcome to the two of you guys. And yeah, Chris, does Aljamain Sterling dodge him though?
He's going to try his best, I think.
He's got previous, you know, after that shambles of a victory. Yeah. So as you say, Cejudo might get himself in the reckoning.
It's possible.
You know, if there is shenanigans from Aljamain outside the cage.
I think I'd rather see Henry Cejudo versus Petty Ann, if I'm honest with you. I think that you know, you've got the Olympic wrestler that, you know, as much as he talked shit, did Henry Cejudo, he did back it up in the octagon. He backed it up and he beat people he fought in front of him. He was getting better, I thought. You know, he did use his wrestling, but he was using his strikes as well, which was obviously all new to him when he first came into mixed martial arts, but he was getting it all together. So it was a shame when he left, because, you know, he made double champion, didn't he? He beat Dominic Cruz, then left. I still thought there was a lot of fights out there for Henry Cejudo to have. And I think Peter Yan versus Henry Cejudo, I think more wets the mouth of MMA fans than another Aljamain Sterling, Peter Yan. But yes, Sterling's going to have to fight him at some point.
A fantastic performance from Peter Yan. We will keep you abreast of everything that is going on with Peter Yan in the subsequent months. We'll see who gets matched up. Absolutely, we will cover that. I know Chris will be, you know, loving covering that when we hear more information on who the next opponent is.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. 100%. And then moving on to an absolutely superb performance, Chris. And as you said to me off camera, he's bypassed the top contenders now, surely. With, you know, beating Dan Hooker, you can't take it away from him. He's fought the best. Another loss for him. But yeah, he's now calling for the next title shot at 155, Chris. And what a performance. Again, grappling and the submission and Dan Hooker, that was all she wrote for Dan Hooker.
Yeah, you know, I thought Dan Hooker would have tried to sort of, well, no, I thought to say try. I thought he might have escaped the first round against Makhachev. But no, Makhachev took him down. He knew exactly he wanted that Kimura. He had that Kimura, that arm trapped behind Dan Hooker's back. As soon as he took him down, he turned him on his side and he was going for that arm. It was a point where I think Dan Hooker must have known that it was game over. It was all she wrote. He could have broken that arm, I think, if Dan Hooker didn't. Because obviously Dan Hooker had to say, I quit. He couldn't tap because his other arm was stuck. And I don't think he could move his legs.
It's not the most ideal, is it?
No, and I think it was a verbal quit.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shame in it because I think if he didn't quit, if you saw how high that arm went up in that Kimura, Makhachev was probably, I'd say, inches away from snapping that from its shoulder. And I think he would have done it as well.
Look, that's like, you know, when you look at that visually, that's being tied up like a pretzel right there, Chris.
Do you see, the thing with Khabib and Makhachev and what they used to do, they take you down and we get to Chimaev, he does it as well. They hook the legs. As soon as they take you down, they hook their legs along your legs and then they drag you. And that's what, European grappling is all about.
You're in quicksand then, aren't you? Absolutely.
It was good. You know what I mean? He had a bit of cockiness in his post-fight interview, you know, with Daniel Cormier, you know, calling out Gaethje and Chandler saying they've been and done it. Why? They're too old. And I thought, yeah, that's good, you know. That's what he needs. Khabib was like that, you know. He was a bit cheeky, wasn't he? You know, very professional and respectful. When need to be to sell a fight, yeah, he did it. And Makhachev, you know what I mean? He could get the next title shot. Just Chandler and Gaethje, obviously, we'll get to today. They fight, obviously, this weekend.
Yeah.
He could bypass them. Or maybe one of them could fight him. Possibly.
But we'll look forward to that as well into the future. But yeah, he's definitely... knocking on the door for that title shot. But yeah, moving on, Chris. Sorry. The boss man, John Scott. Hello. Afternoon, John. Hope you're well, mate. Great shows are late. Thank you very much, mate. We appreciate it. We appreciate that. Lewis, how are you, mate? Hope you're well up there in Scotland, bud. Hope you're all good, pal. Dan Terra Sports Inc. Hello, mate. How are you?
You're good. Right, we'll move on, Stuart, to Azmat Chimaev.
Woo! Yes, absolutely. Another one of your, you know, one of your favourites, Chris. You know, you've tipped him for a long, long time now. And again, grappling was king on the night of UFC 267. And what a show from him. You know, he's fought at middleweight as well, hasn't he, Chris? I mean, you know, at 6'2", it's not going to be a problem. I think he could go up. That's what I was thinking. I know he's got stuff to do at welterweight first. But I think he's a problem. He could be a problem in both divisions, couldn't he?
Yeah, he beat on his first two fights for the UFC in Abu Dhabi. He fought within a week, if you remember that. He beat our own Aaron Phillips, the Welshman, destroyed him. Then fought Royce McKee, who was a Northern Irish, who's obviously been let go by the UFC now. Absolutely dismantled him. But this is the kind of guy he is. Okay, he's been away for almost a year with COVID. But he's back, and he's back with a bang. I don't even think Li Jiangying actually hit him with one punch in that whole entire fight, you know? I think, you know what I mean? As you say, in this event, it was grappling was king.
Unbelievable.
Chimaev, like Makhachev, are just elites above everybody when it comes to that grappling. This is why it's mouthwatering to think, you know, if you can get another fight, which I feel like it'll probably be Neil Magny next for Azmat Chimaev, which is good and it makes sense because I think Neil Magny will be probably just above him in the rankings now. I think Chimaev will jump straight into the top 10. And I think then we can see where he goes from there because Neil Magny's been around. He's fought some of the best. Neil Magny, you know, all round is really good. I don't know if he can handle Chimaev, but he might be able to. This is good and interesting to see.
Is Chimaev going to be champion, Chris? I'll ask. In your mind, will he be champion? At 170, first and foremost.
I don't know, because it's Usman, man. And Usman, which we'll see this weekend, because he's got a tough opponent in Covington. I think either of them two could cause problems for Chimaev. They're very unorthodox of their sort of wrestling as well. Don't forget, and they're both coming through the collegiate wrestling scene, is Usman and Covington. So they're well-versed in the grappling sense. I just don't know, because, you know, They're both good at striking as well. We haven't seen much of Chimaev. I know he knocked out, I can't remember the last guy's opponent, Gerald, I can't pronounce his second name, but he knocked him out in his third fight. But you're not going to be knocking out Usman and Covington. No. I think they're going to be really difficult opponents. But it's possible. I think he's got more of a shot against Izzy, you know? I think because Izzy, Jan showed the sort of the blueprint to Izzy by taking him down. Mm-hmm. And I think Chimaev's obviously got much, much better takedown offense than Jan Blachowicz. I think he could take Izzy down, you know. I think he could give Izzy more of a fight than I think he could Usman. But, you know, as he progresses, he's still a young lad. It, you know, he's got a lot of time to learn all these things. Who knows with it? You know, the sport, as we saw in the main event, can throw some different road paths in the way, can't it? You know, one minute you think this guy's going to win and the next minute that guy wins. This is what's so interesting about the sport.
Fantastic. Again, another brilliant performance from Chimaev, you know, highly touted. The Russian-born Swede, I will get that one in as well. So, yeah, another fantastic performance from Dan Terra Sports Inc. Hello, mate. Any news on Jake versus Tommy then?
Yes. Oh, yes.
We have got news on that where it's been shown so I can see Tommy smash him up and put an end to the polls in boxing.
I think, is it 16th or the 18th of December? I saw that come out. I did post it to you, didn't I, the other day?
It'll be BT Sport. It'll be BT Sport for us in the UK. I think that's a given.
They're definitely penciled down for December. I think I have a 16th or the 18th, Dan. But yeah, I think we'll go more into that when we get closer to it. I don't want to sort of break too much down of it now and then have nothing to say. I think there'll be a lot of shenanigans going on, you know, going towards Jake Paul and Tommy Fury. But I want to break that down when we get a bit closer and there's a bit more to talk about. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Heels rules. Didn't know you was on today. We did say that we did last Thursday and we said Monday.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry about that. Bit rushed because we weren't sure on times and stuff like that. But yeah, sorry. Yeah, we are here though. Hello all. Heels rules. Haha, Tommy will destroy him. Chris will beg to differ on that. Chris will beg to differ with you on that.
It's not skill set. I just think it's just pressure with the whole Tommy and Jake thing that's going to ruin Tommy, I think. But like I say, I want to talk about that more when we get closer to the fight.
Plenty of time. Brett Thomas, Jake Paul, latest. Jake's Hills fan strips down and wears devil horns in racy Halloween show. Jake slammed Fury ahead of their fight, saying it's time he stopped living off Molly Mayhew. Jake Paul, W. That's, that's the case in point right there for Mr. Thomas, who has covered the poll since February on this show. So there you go. And how are you both?
We're good, mate. We're good. You're the inside knowledge for the Paul brothers, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see there's going to be some slanging matches in the comments in the next month and a half. It's going to be juicy leading up to it. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Are we moving on, Chris? Have we got anything else? Yes, we are. Our UK prospect, Chris, Lerone Murphy. Bit of a shaky first round from him. It was 10-9 the first round to Amir Carney, Chris. But he weathered it. And what a brutal knee strike knockout, as you said there in the headline. But yeah, he weathered it, didn't he? Because he didn't have the best of first rounds, did he? But he's come through it and he's got the W, which we're all, you know, really happy for him in the UK that he's got it, Chris.
Yeah, I agree. It was a difficult first round for Lerone Murphy. Look, Amir Carney does this to a lot of fighters. He takes them out and he blankets them. You know, he tries to go for the submission, but you know what I mean? He's pot shots here, but he's like a blanket when he gets hold of you. I think Lerone Murphy got a bit of a shock in that first round. I think he got his tactics a bit wrong. Mm-hmm. But as you say, in the second round, he stuffed a couple of takedowns before that devastating knee, got a few strikes off. And I think once he got that measure of Amir Carney, bang, that knee right up the middle, cleans out and shuts the lights off of Amir Carney. Good night. There's a couple of follow-up punches he didn't really need to do, but that's just what they do, isn't it, now and again. But yeah, fantastic victory for Lerone Murphy.
I think I'll go with the question that I do, you know, most weeks to you, and for this one we will. A fight, put your head on that you were going to make the next fight for him. Who's a man that you'd like to see Lerone get in there with next, Chris? What's a good test for him?
Let me get the rankings up, mate.
He's gonna get our nice graphic rankings up here now through Google.
Just give me a second, because I need to, because it all could have changed now, you know, from the weekend. So
updated, yeah.
Yep. So I'll just get it up now for you.
Lovely, Ghibli. Yeah, fantastic performance from Lerone. Absolutely brilliant. You know, weathering that first round as well, as we've said. And yeah, beautiful knee strike. And here we are. Here are the rankings. Chris is just going to scroll through, and there you can see him there. He's at 20. Has that changed, Chris?
Yeah, because I think he was a lot. I think he was in the 30s.
So it's a good. It's a good. It's a good jump. You know, you got Tugov there above. I'm looking Andre Feely, Cub Swanson a bit higher up, Chris. So yeah, in and around that area, who would you think would be a good test for him next?
Depends on how far he's going to jump, isn't it, really? Bryce Mitchell would be a really interesting fight. You know, Bryce Mitchell is also a good wrestler. He beat Andre Feely quite easily in decision a few months ago. Bryce Mitchell, because he's Lerone Murphy's come out and said he wants to test himself against wrestlers. Amir Carney obviously is known for his wrestling. So, Bryce Mitchell would be a good one. Andre Feely, but I think Andre Feely's coming off a loss. I think you want him to match him with someone on a win, don't you, really? I think Bryce Mitchell. I think Bryce Mitchell would be a good test for him.
There we go. We'll get on to Dana White about that one, Chris. Chris Hume, matchmaking there. So, yeah, fantastic performance. We love putting a bit of an onus on our UK fighters when they're on, Chris, don't we? So, yeah, nice to see him in the win column. 3-0-1 now. So he's coming along nicely, isn't he, Chris?
I've got a lot. There's a lot of skill set that Rome Murphy's got to work on. Obviously, he's takedown defence. But once he figured it out, he looked really good against Amir Carney. Against tougher wrestlers, he's not going to get that opportunity. Do you know what I mean? He's going to work solid. But, yeah, I know.
He's happy with that, Mr. Thomas. Sorry. He's happy with your words about the polls. Everyone will eat their words again. Well done, Chris. I jumped in then, as you were flirting with Lerone.
It's not the skill set, the Tommy Fury, Jake Paul, I'm going on about. We said this when we spoke to Steve, and I sort of disagreed with what Steve said, but, you know, he understood where I was coming from. It's all about this pressure, and nobody does pressure like Jake Paul. And then, you know, before I stop and carry on with the show, Tommy Fury's got a lot of pressure, you know, from his dad saying he's going to retire him on the spot. He's getting his name changed to Tommy Fumbles for a year. You know, who wants fucking that? There's a lot of pressure. And, you know, facing someone like Jake Paul who can wind you up.
Tommy Fury could be up for adoption before the year's end.
No, possibly, you know. It's a difficult one. I'm not saying skill set, because Tommy Fury could go out there and bang him. And I am not objecting to that. I just
think mental. Do you think it's the mental side there? Could that be his unravelling? Is that where you're going with it?
And it just didn't look good in his last fight on the Jake Paul Woodley undercard against, is it a featherweight wrestler? I can't remember what the guy's name. Fights in
I
Bellator.
Can't, but yeah.
He didn't look good. He didn't look good in that. And I just think he's got, there's a lot going into this fight for him. But like I said, that's something we'll talk about as we get
fantastic, closer. Fantastic UFC 267, Chris. And now we go into the preview portion of the show, because we've got UFC 268 headlined by two guys who probably the most beef within the UFC, within the realms of combat sports. But they get back in there, Chris, for a second time. Kamaru Usman was devastating in the end in the first fight. It was fantastic. But yeah, Chris, does this change? Does Colby do something different? That is my first question to you. Or is Kamaru just, by way, you know, just too far ahead now, especially in his last, you know, performances? And you know, he's had the beating of him once. Going back to that mental side, it was the same for the boxing. Do you think mentally it's just going to be too much for Colby?
I don't think, no, I think, listen, Colby Covington can handle pressure. You would have seen that in the first fight. You know what I mean? This is the closest fight Usman's had in the UFC. And he pushed Kamara all the way until Usman hit his jaw with those devastating right hands, which we've seen in the last couple of fights against Gilbert Burns, against Masvidal. He's got this power, and he's figured out this power now. My only issue with this is Kobe Covington's only fought once since they last fought, and that was against Tyron Woodley, where we've seen Usman fight three times since. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like if you've got to be in there, like we always say about certain fighters that disappear and come back, they were elite once, but then they're never the same because they take too much time off. It might be the case that Covington's obviously waited out Usman or just couldn't get a fight after Woodley or didn't want to fight that after Woodley. He wanted Usman immediately, but Usman obviously had to defend the next in lines. I just think Usman's got too much for him. I think this will be very close, though. I do not see this being an Usman knockout like he did to Masvidal. Covington's not stupid enough to fall in line with that right hook, that, you know, that power hand of Usman. You know, he's very good at striking himself. He's very unorthodox with his striking as Kobe Covington. Awkward, very awkward. And we've seen with Usman against Masvidal, he can get caught as well when he gets a bit too overexcited with those right hands. But I do think it's going to go the same way. I think I don't know if Usman will finish him this time, but he could. But I feel like Usman will probably get their decision on this. I think it'll be close. You could even go, you could say this could be a split, because Covington, like I say, is so awkward in how he sort of positions himself with his striking and how he takes people down, puts you against the cage. It's, you know, I don't think it's gonna be, go on.
Why has he only had one fight in the time that Kamara? I know Kamara's got to defend the belt. I get that. Why only the one fight? You know, and as you're saying, being the inactivity could be detrimental. You know, could he be a bit rusty, Chris? You know, I know they're training. I know they're training all the time for the fights. But yeah, the inactivity. I worry for him. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. That's why I brought it up. I don't know whether, because he beat Woodley, and I think, yeah, he's next in line. I think he was more in line than Masvidal, because Masvidal lost to Usman in Abu Dhabi, didn't he, last year? And then he got the rematch this year, got knocked out by Usman. I still think Covington probably should have got the next in line over Masvidal, but yeah. Masvidal sells tickets, doesn't he? I know Kobe Covington does as well, but because of the way Masvidal is at the moment, he's... Everyone wants to see him, and we'll see in Masvidal versus Edwards in December, and I can't wait to, you know, we cover that one. I just think he probably waited out Usman, knowing that he is next in line. He didn't need to fight anyone. I just think maybe he could have picked someone up just to, you know, not fall behind, because I think he fought Woodley last year in August. That's, you know, it's well over 12 months now to when they fight this weekend. Since Kobe Covington was inside an octagon.
It's that 4-inch reach a factor. We know Usman's striking has become, you know, he's developed and come into, you know, one of the best strikers in the whole of MMA. Do you feel that 4 inches could be a problem?
No, because if you watch the first fight, Kobe Covington was getting in there and he was hitting Usman with strikes. He did stumble Usman. Like Gilbert Burns stumbled Usman in their fight. He can be hit. This is the thing with Usman. He has to tighten things up, because don't forget, he's naturally coming from a grappler to a striker, you know, and mixing between grappling and striking. Some of them people get, like Johnny Hendricks, for example, find they got this power in his hand and they forget all about their grappling, and then they get caught because they're just trying to single out this right hand, you know, like a rocket, and try and knock everyone out. I don't think Usman's that stupid. I think he's going to mix everything up. But as like I said, against Masvidal, you did see, and against Gilbert Burns, he does get clipped. Covington might have seen that and thinking, I can get in there. I think Usman's just better than everybody in that division. And he beats everyone over and over again in that division. I don't know if you know this, but did you hear him call out he wanted Canelo in boxing?
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Not for me.
No, not Canelo. We've seen how devastating in a boxing format. No disrespect to Kamara.
Fantastic
in mixed martial arts. You know, the ground game's there as well. You know, as much as he's, you know, been heralded for his striking, but yeah, a bridge too far probably for him.
I think, but
hey, at least he's ambitious. Chris, are we moving on to another rematch? And yeah. Rose Namajunas, who's been underdog so many times throughout her career. And, you know, Zhang Weili was heavy favourite in the first fight. Upset the odds, as Rose likes to do, as we've seen with Joanna Jacek many years, you know, previous. So, yeah, Chris, the rematch. And do you see this one going differently to how the first fight went? Because she shocked people, which, you know, I think she's always been classified as an underdog, as Rose.
There's the finish for you right there. She looked low, I went high. Caught Weili Yang completely unaware of that leg kick. As they always say, it's the ones you don't see that ones that hurt you. I think it'll go differently. I still think Rose can win this fight. I'm really big on Wei Liang when we first covered the first fight these two had. And I thought Wei Liang might have pinched it because Wei Liang's striking is absolutely brilliant in the strawweight division. You saw how, you know, her and one of the old Jacek, which you just mentioned, they had a bomb burner of a fight when they fought. But you saw the class and the technical and the slickness of Wei Liang's striking. We didn't get to see this in this fight, really, because Rose Namajunas just popped her with that fantastic leg kick to the chops and cleared her eye out. I don't think you're going to see a quick knockout in this one. I think this could go all five rounds.
Which would be nice to see. That'd be good to see him showcase everything they can do. Whaley's going to be looking to it. She needs performance this time round, isn't she? I'd say there's a lot of pressure on her this time round. I think a lot of people had a heavy favourite in the first fight, myself included. But yeah, maybe we will get to see a five rounder, as you say, Chris. And hopefully,
yeah. I don't think people got to see Wei Liang's skill set in that first fight because Namajunas was a bang out. See you later. I know Carla Esparza, I think next in line for these two. I think she's been a bit put out recently. These two rematched. I think this makes sense that these two need to rematch because it's such a quick knockout. We didn't get to see the fight, and I think this is going to be a brilliant fight. You say about Chandler and Gaethje off camera stealing the show. This fight most definitely could steal the show. Absolutely. If it gets going.
Two fantastic ladies, at strawweight. Fantastic. Can't wait for that. And Chris, have we got comments? Are we moving on? Monsieur Chandler and Monsieur Gaethje as they battle it out for the next shot at 155, Chris. Now, we have spoken about Makhachev jumping at the bus now before these two. But yeah, this is my one. This is my fight of the night. I think it's got it all. Explosiveness. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Listen, they're both really good at wrestling. They don't always use their wrestling, but it's a good backup to use if they're getting touched up and they can't sort of handle the pressure of the striking. They've got that wrestling background that they can put you on your ass and stifle the striking game. Chandler's got a rocket of that right hand. He's very quick for a small guy, but you've seen him. He's built like a brick shithouse. Gaethje, on the other hand, Gaethje can take a punch. Gaethje throws those disgusting calf kicks that completely put people out of the game, but also he can strike Stewart and he hits hard. You saw in the Tony Ferguson fight how Tony Ferguson took all those strikes from Justin Gaethje and still managed the last five rounds is beyond me. But you saw the power in Justin Gaethje. You kind of saw it in the Khabib fight when he caught Khabib with those leg kicks. Yeah. Khabib didn't like them. But Khabib just beats everyone, just like Jon Jones does. He just finds a way. But this fight's interesting for me is, can Chandler keep his gas tank? Because against Charles Oliveira, he blew his gas tank when he dropped Charles Oliveira in that first round and went hell for leather for the finish. In the second round, you could see he was gassed, got caught, and got finished. Justin Gaethje, on the other hand, has an absolute monster. Well, he's worked it out now. He's got a better gas tank. He's much better with his striking. He's not going hell for leather. Just getting taking one to give one. Mm-hmm. You saw that against Tony Ferguson. This could go either way, but I'm going Justin Gaethje. I just think he's got the power and he can take a punch. Do you know what I mean?
I get that totally.
This reminds me of Eddie Alvarez versus Michael Chandler. Because them two had some... And they were both very similar. Like Gaethje and Chandler are.
Yeah.
Them two are very similar. And obviously, Gaethje's been in with Eddie Alvarez. And that was all over the place. It was, there was blood pouring everywhere. There was sweat everywhere. They were tired, but they were throwing bombs. They were on the ground throwing bombs. There were submission attempts. This could be exactly like that Eddie Alvarez fight that Chandler had.
Absolutely. And yeah, this is my standout bout in the night, which the card is chucked to bits as it is. But yeah, I'm going with that one. I think that's going to be the fight. That's going to be the battle, both men. Yeah, absolutely. Bearers for 155.
But Makhachev could jump them. No matter. But I think it depends on how good this fight goes this weekend, like you say. If this fight's like a war, I think Makhachev might have to wait a bit longer because if it goes the way we speak about it, it is a war. One of them has to get the title shot after Poirier and Charles Oliveira fight in December. But the all two other fights are not. Well, I'm going to cover them next weekend because we'll press for time. But we've got the debut of the Irish Machine and Ian Garry. He's making his debut this weekend, and I'm telling you now, you're going to, when you watch it, Stuart, you see Ian Garry, he's going to blow you out of the water. You think Conor McGregor's good, but this guy is next level in Irish MMA. You'll see this.
Is he a straight blast as well?
No.
Where's he been trained?
I did have it in my notes the other week, actually.
Yeah, I know you've been touting him, and I've seen many, you know, UK-based, Irish-based fighters come through. You know, when you've told us well ahead of time that they're going to be something. So, yeah, if you're saying he's going to be, you know, better than McGregor, I will take that.
He fights out of Stanford MMA, mate.
Right, okay.
Affiliation. But obviously we get not just Ian Garry, who's fighting this weekend as his debut. We've got Alex Pereira, who also was training Glover Teixeira. If you watch the countdowns, he was training Glover Teixeira for Jan Blachowicz this weekend. The weekend just gone. He's fighting, making his debut. Again, there's another narrative to Alex Pereira that he beat Izzy in the last kickboxing fight. I think he knocked Izzy out in that last kickboxing fight as well. So there's a narrative there, and obviously he's fighting at middleweight. So maybe, if he's good enough, not all kickboxers translate into MMA very well. But, you know, hopefully this could work, and we could see a big narrative. And Izzy's got an opponent to look forward to if he gets past Whittaker.
Perfect. So, yeah, as you say, that was the undercard. Some guys on the undercard as well, and we'll get to see them. And then I'd just like to say, you can sign up and subscribe to Powerful.tv. 30-plus wrestling promotions available. You're not just paying for one. You can watch the whole entirety of the video library. Loads of stuff coming up. Loads of UK-based wrestling shows. A few American ones as well. $7.99 a month. I implore you to sign up. Fantastic from Rich and John. All that wrestling for one price at $7.99 a month. I'm moving on to the boxing. And, I've heard people bigging up Caleb Plant, Chris, against the pound-for-pound best boxer on the planet. There's no question of that. Even Andre Ward, who's trained with Caleb Plant, has said they don't realise what power Caleb's got. I'm still not buying that this guy's got a chance against the pound for pound king in boxing.
No, but can I put this picture back on here? Because this picture might mark out how the fight goes. Because it's just a slip of Canelo when Plant throws that punch, he just slips him with ease and just cracks him and cuts him open. That to me, it just shows you how the fight will go. Canelo, as you say, is pound for pound the best boxer on the planet at the moment. He's beaten everybody that was undefeated. He's beaten people above him who are, you know, we would class at Lomachenko, one of the best in the world. Golovkin, he's got up and beat them, come back down, hasn't he? He beat our Billy Joe, and Billy Joe never lost a fight until he fought Canelo. Listen, Canelo is a beast. Canelo is like, I think, if we look back and go back to an MMA fight, think of Petr Yan. He lets the guys have a few rounds, doesn't he? Works them out and then implements his plan. And it's too much. He's ferocious. Everything he does, and it's not just the power, it's the movement and his head movement. He's dangerous. I do think Caleb Plant's getting shoved out there, mate. It's going to be a KO victory for Canelo in this, and he's going to make it look fucking easy because he's just too good.
I'm just trying to get people's thinking on Caleb Plant. Now they can say he's going to beat him. Power and all this, Canelo's the most powerful man in there, hands down. No one's beating him, as we've said before. The only time he looked ordinary was against Floyd at a lower weight. You know, he's got the frame to be at the level he's at. I still maintain Canelo can go up to light heavy as well. And I think might happen sooner rather than later.
When he beats Caleb Plant this weekend, because it's not an if, I think, you know what I mean? It's a safe bet here. Is there anyone else in this division for him?
There's like Jamel Charlo, Benavidez, there's people like that, isn't there? But like, and Caleb Plant's calling them out as well. And I'm just thinking to myself, it's just maybe he's trying to be positive, you know, to be in a positive mindset. I suppose if you were negative, you've got to believe you can go in there and do something. I kind of get that. If he starts being negative, we don't see it that all too often, do we? You know, everyone's positive pre-fight. So I suppose they're getting him in that mindset, as we've said before, mental and physical. But a lot of the time, it's the mental side, isn't it?
Listen, he just got slipped and punched in the press conference by Canelo. I think that weighs on your mind. If he can do that without, you know, not even being a boxing fight, you've got no hope. Listen, so yes, I like Canelo. I love everything about him.
Saturday evening, Sunday for us in the UK, so Saturday for you guys in the USA. And we look forward to that. It'll be for, you know, all the marbles, undisputed super middleweight champion. But heavy for Canelo on that one, Chris. And we'll move on to a fight that was on domestic shores for us. Croatia's Alan Babic, too powerful for the veteran American Eric Molina. How this wasn't stopped earlier, I do not know. Obviously, we were meant to have Dylan White versus Otto Valin, but still yep. a good atmosphere at the O2 in London, Chris. And how this wasn't stopped sooner, I don't know. Molina had a bit of success early on, and after that, Babic was just, as his attire said, savage across the waistband there. Savage by name, savage by nature. And they were saying it's a big step up for Babic. You know, that's 10-0 now. This is his biggest fight. And Molina's been in there with people, as I said last week. You know, Molina has had tests. He's been in with some of the best heavyweight champions in the current times. But yeah, just too much, too powerful. And as I say, yeah, should have been stopped earlier.
Listen, he's too good. He was too good for Molina, wasn't he? I don't think, as you say, once Molina got figured out by Babic, he wasn't liking those right hooks. So, devastating. I think it should have been stopped earlier. There was a love of fight in the UFC this weekend, Stuart. Really dreadful refereeing. Wasn't as bad as this one, mind you. But yeah, it should have been stopped. Babic looked just too much for Molina. You know what I mean? Molina's been there, as you say, been and done it. Couldn't handle Babic. I'm interested to see where Babic goes from here now, if I'm honest.
I think one of the UK guys, to be honest with you, you know, like brought it before, Fabio Wardley would be a good test for him. You know, we were talking to Steve about Fabio Wardley last week as well.
Yeah.
There's some good domestic battles. But, you know, well, he's from Croatia, but, you know, he's obviously under the Matchroom umbrella, should I say. Someone domestic maybe. You know, he's into double figures now. They're going to be looking to step it up, aren't they? He's took out an old war horse in Molina. So, yeah, that's the way I see that one going now. You know, it's stepping it up, isn't it? It's getting him into the belt contention, you know, whether that be a continental title or a European title. Mm. The good showing from him. Good showing. They put this one together last minute off the back of Dillian White and Valin being scrubbed off. So, yeah, good performance all round. And, Eddie Hearn has been hot on Artur Babic for some time. So, yeah, good performance. And moving on, Chris, a bit of boxing news. Only announced today, Matchroom again, Mr. Eddie Hearn. We've got Conor Bent and Katie Taylor on the Matchroom doubleheader December the 11th. So, yes, some good stuff coming up in December, Chris. And this is no exception.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's all right.
Listen, it's not just big fights in UFC, big fights in boxing in December, as you can see. And have they got opponents? Have they mentioned
Not as yet. This is very much hot off the press at the moment. So, yeah, we'll be covering this. I'm sure in the next week or two we'll know who they're getting. Conor Benn has looked fantastic. He's world championship material. There's no question about that. I know you're a big fan of Conor as well, Chris. And Katie Taylor just gets better and better defending the titles. She's fantastic. What a great, you know, patron for Irish boxing and European boxing. But yeah, that'll be a good card. I'm sure the undercard will be very good. And I think the Zone has gone back down in price. I was saying about this last Thursday, but I will double check that. It was back to $199. But yeah, fantastic array of stuff coming up for us to watch, and, you know, viewers alike who watch every week will be covering it. And Chris, where can the viewers find you? Anything going on this week?
No, I've just had a week off, so I'm back in work tomorrow, which is great. Just fights, isn't it? This weekend's UFC 268. You know, this weekend's been absolutely brilliant with fights, you know, on both combat sports. And going into this weekend, Usman, Covington, Canelo, Plant. It's like a combat person's wet dream, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So many big fights this weekend. You know, leading up, we've still got big fights to come in December, as well as you just said, with Conor Benn and Katie Taylor. We've got Dustin Poirier versus Charles Oliveira, Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal. Max Holloway's fighting in a couple of weeks against Yair Rodriguez on a fight night card. So there's lots and lots of mouthwatering fights coming his way. Mate, I can't wait to cover it, and I can't wait to watch it.
Absolutely. We are in podcast form, as you can see across the banner at the bottom there. So please, if you like audio, if you like your podcast in audio form, we recommend that you, you know, listen to us in audio form as well. I had a lot of people in America listening. We've had some ratings, some viewer ratings that we weren't expecting, Chris.
Yeah,
that's been nice, as we've said. But yeah, you can get us on the podcast apps as well. You know, so don't forget, if you're into your Spotify and Apple podcasts, then yeah, highly recommended to get us in audio form. And yeah, Chris, I think this has been episode 37 of Powerful.tv Big Fight Weekly. And we will see you next week for episode 38 with all the post-fight drama from UFC 268 and Canelo versus Plant, undisputed at super middleweight. See you next week.
Can't wait, and I'll see you next week.
Podcast Network.